Good afternoon and welcome to today's edition of In Focus. Grant Demme joining alongside today with Dr. Mark Chuback, the chair of the Smiths Falls Welcomes Ukraine Group. How's it going today?
Grant, you know, it's going great, and I'm really, really glad to be with you here today. I just got to say right off the outset that Lake 88 has been probably our best ally in terms of informing our community about where we're at and what we're doing over the last year. So, Grant, thanks a lot for the efforts that your station has made.
Well, the thanks should be going to your group because it's a wonderful group of volunteers helping out in a lot of ways. And why we're speaking today is because last week, as most people know, marked the one-year anniversary of the Russian forces invading their neighbors to the Ukraine, which is obviously a significant landmark for a war. So we sort of figured it was a good time to catch up with your group, which obviously came from the war, welcoming refugees to the Smiths Falls areas, and sort of see how everyone is getting on 1 year later. So before we really dive into where things are today, I thought it'd be appropriate to sort of look back to your early days with a group volunteering. So let me ask you this. So why was this a moment in world history that your thought turned into action, wanting you to sort of lead this group of volunteers and get involved here?
Well, I mean, we began assembling very early, you know, February 24th, of course, is that unfortunate date when the invasion began. And probably within 2 or 3 weeks of that, a number of us got together actually through, you know, Mayor Sean Panko actually sort of assembled us and was looking for people that maybe could shape something. It was really just a group of people that showed up, and I was one of them, and there was three or four others that remained on the committee. And we realized that we all simply just wanted to create an environment in Smith Falls where we would be ready to receive people. We felt even at that stage that there was an inevitability that there were going to be refugees or displaced persons. And because Smith Falls and our community, Lanark County, has so much to offer, we thought, well, let's set up a group and make sure that we have the pieces in place where we can have them here in terms of getting them here, first of all, you know, raising some funds. And we've had some incredibly generous people, whether it's been companies or individuals who have helped us set up a fund that we were able to fly people here. And similarly, you know, get them set up with host families. So there was a lot that went to it. I'll maybe stop there and perhaps you can ask some more questions because I don't want to get too long-winded here.
Well, I did want to ask a little bit about those earlier days. You know, you mentioned that things sort of got set up in a bit of a hurry, but I'm sure there was also a lot of uncertainties that came with those earlier days, you know, getting those initial host families and those first few refugee families also coming in. I'm sure there was a point in time where you maybe had more questions than answers.
The first few months were very difficult for us, for sure. We were not entirely clear as to how people could arrive. The bulk of Ukrainians had already been, well, I shouldn't perhaps use that word, but a lot of Ukrainians had been already displaced and were sitting in Warsaw. So we had to spend a lot of time determining what the easiest way was to connect with people, alert them to what Smith Falls had to offer, because of course at those early stages there was many communities who were stepping up, whether it was larger urban centers, Toronto, there's a massive Ukrainian community there, Montreal. So we had to determine whether, you know, educate and, you know, where is Lanark County? Where is Smith Falls? And so finding folks ended up being a combination of using connections through some individuals in Kingston. Kingston has I think 160 Ukrainians that have joined the community. So we were able to tap into their expertise and also through social media connections. So the first 3 or 4 months were really a matter of how can we even get people here safely and host families. We had to vet them. You know, we had to make sure that there were safe environments for people that they were going to be able to host. So, of course, there's procedures for that that we had to follow. And it wasn't all that easy. You know, to be a host family is a pretty big deal. You know, we asked hosts to offer their homes for an entire year, 6 months to a year. So the level of generosity that's involved to be a host family for a Ukrainian newcomer is a big deal. So we ended up with a small but excellent number of people, and we were able to match the displaced folks that ended up joining us properly with those host families. You can imagine that if somebody is allergic to dogs, we're not going to set them up in a host family that has a dog. So, you know, that's just an example. So the first 3 or 4 months were very difficult, and we really didn't get people joining us until July. And of course, February 24th was the onset of the invasion. So it was a lot of work up front, Grant.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, your example of a dog allergy, that is just one of those small things that people may not even really think about when it comes to this. You want to make sure that they're safe and the home, as you said, the people are vetted, but that they're also comfortable and not living in a situation that's more difficult than it needs to be, especially at a time where their life can't really get any harder than it currently is. So a year on now, what do things look like now? How many volunteers exist within the group? How many families are you supporting today?
Well, the volunteer component is an interesting thing that you raise, because you know, our committee has a volunteer coordinator. You know, every person on the committee has a role, and so the volunteer coordinator was able to put together about 30 to 35 people who again have been available for mostly drives and you know, taking people to different places, medical visits, etc., paperwork. So the volunteer has done very, very well. Eight or nine people. Some are unable to attend all of our meetings. We have 8 families that are within our orbit. And Grant, what I mean by that is that 5 of the families or individuals, but families, because it's usually a mom and kids, we actually were instrumental in bringing over in terms of their flights and bringing them from whether Montreal or Toronto and settling them in with host families that we actually vetted, and they went through, quote, our process. But not everybody does that. In Lanark, what we found was that some people, you know, they, out of the generosity of their own hearts, acted on their own. And so they were able to, through social media or through perhaps some sort of family connection, bring over a displaced person as well. So there's a total of 8 people, or 8 families rather, that are in our orbit, and they access our services in whatever way that we can.
I understand, you know, they have some incredible stories I'm sure that they're holding on to. Were there any that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, you know, the people are so varied. You know, some folks have come from the East and they speak more Russian than Ukrainian, and they're more closely related to the immediate battles, which are tend to be a little bit more concentrated, of course, in the East, as we know. And then we have people from the far West, so places like Lviv, Tarnopol, you know, and Kiev, which is more central. So they're from all over. And you know, Grant, I have actually collected some of the newcomers that we brought in have agreed to provide sort of short testimonials of their experiences to date. Would you like to hear some of those?
Yes, absolutely, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yeah, I'd love to. There's one here by Natalie, and she writes that she says, so this is really her, where she's at right now. You know, my daughter Masha and I are living in Smith Falls for 4 months now, and I'm sure we're lucky. We're safe and very wonderful people around us. We have new friends. Canadian people are very friendly. We often meet people whose grandparents came to Canada from the Ukraine many years ago. That's fascinating, really. generational immigrants and now meeting the new immigrants. Fortunately, my daughter and I have no negative experiences here. The Ukraine and Canada are completely different. It's like comparing green and blue colors, but they're absolutely different and beautiful both. And she says some of the difficulties, of course, you know, there's the terrific part, and then there's the what's challenging, right? So Natalie says, my biggest problems are the waiting list for after school programs and my English, but I study hard and it's easy for me to understand and answer every day. She dreams of mastering a new profession here in Canada. And, you know, language has been curious because some of the newcomers that have joined us actually speak English reasonably well. And they will be perhaps already employed in some sort of an information technology industry where, you know, their work has already encompassed English. And then other folks, their English has been almost non-existent. I speak Polish, so with some of the immigrants that originally came, they couldn't speak English, and I was able to sort of bridge that with my Polish. But of course, as they start studying English, 3 hours a day, they don't want to speak Polish anymore. They only want to speak English, and that's what's supposed to happen. But the language component is big, because if you don't have English, you're probably not going to get a job. So that's an emphasis of our committee. You want to hear another story, Grant?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to sort of expand on your point, I mean, that can't really be understated enough, the necessity to be able to speak the language of the country you're in and the one you're living in. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really good point. But yeah, let's hear another story.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's just develop that a bit more, because this next testimonial here from Natalia talks about that. She says, you know, previously while living in the Ukraine, I often thought about emigrating, but I could not think that I would emigrate under such circumstances. She says that now she feels support and care for her and her two children here in Smiths Falls. She thanks our committee. She thanks the people in Kingston and her host family very much. But, you know, here is the language part. Again, she says, you know, on a very personal note, she says, the difficulties I encountered was the language barrier. It's really not comfortable when you can't express your opinion. It's hard for me to depend on someone. I'm used to solving problems on my own, but I understand I wouldn't be able to do it myself. It's very hard to start all over again, because I've actually done it many times in my life already. But I'm sure that I have chosen a country where I and my children will have a confident future. You know, so there is a wonderful share. You know, she, you know, it's not just, okay, I can't speak the language, I can't communicate, I can't get a job. But it's really in many ways a bit of an insult to your independence when, you know, you realize that you know, it's like having a wheelchair all of a sudden. Maybe that's a poor analogy, but, you know, needing some sort of a support where you're not used to having that kind of support in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You become more dependent than you ever have before, especially in your adult life. And it's definitely a change on top of everything else that these families are going through. And they have concerns back home, and they have concerns here. And that's just sort of another layer to it. And there are endless layers, I imagine. There's at least been a conversation on the federal front of Ukrainian refugees trying to figure out what lies ahead for them and what the future may hold, whether that's staying where they are or one day, you know, returning home if and when peace comes to Ukraine. Are those conversations being had with these local families at all? Have you heard anything in that regard?
Well, they are. I'm familiar certainly with the European situation a little bit more. I'm certainly aware that in Poland, for instance, I believe right now there's 1.6 million Ukrainians that have actually settled in Poland. And the thoughts are that, you know, probably about 60% of them will go back to the Ukraine in time. The general thought is that once the legwork is done and once they learn English, I would say that probably the majority of our families that we have brought in will stay. Some of them have business interests in the Ukraine that are significant. And one of the families, the dad, I think this is well known, but The men generally haven't come here, but if there's three or more kids, then the men are allowed. And so there's one dad that's traveling to and from the Ukraine at least a couple times because of his business interests. So I would imagine that anybody that has those types of roots in the Ukraine, yes, they're probably going to ultimately go back. But some of the moms with kids and the kids that are enrolled in our schools and they're sort of experiencing the hospitality of our community and the support, we're certainly hoping that they do stay and enrich our community. And, you know, we can teach them about our culture and they can teach us about theirs.
And back in your first answer, I just sort of wanted to follow up on this. You mentioned, you know, the volunteer families, the host families have signed up for a 6 month to a 1 year stay to support these families. But that timeline is nearing an end. So what happens after this? Because, you know, I mean, that's a significant investment of time in their life to support these families, but that can't be a forever situation.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you for naturally following through with that, because as our conversation has gone on, of course, the first year, you know, say ending in December 31st, has been all about getting them here, getting them settled, getting them into their host families. And this year, our goal has to be, you know, having them all master language as a ESL, and if they have to write any English tests for their further career pursuits, then those need to be written, and housing, employment, and certainly housing. So, you know, we have people on our committee who are beginning to look at that. We reach out as chair of the committee. I would say publicly that we'd like to reach out to the community regards housing and a rental housing for the Ukrainian families. They're not many. Rental housing in our area is high pressure. There's not a lot available and the rents are high, but that is an emphasis for us certainly. And a big part of getting a rental apartment for a new Ukrainian family that's joined us is making sure that they're gainfully employed. So you're absolutely right that 1 year, if they've arrived in August, then, you know, August will be the time when it ends with that host family. And then, you know, maybe some of those families will be in a dynamic that they want the newcomer to stay, and then the others won't. So there's a lot of work involved in getting housing set up, yes.
Well, a busy year ahead for everyone involved. There's no other way to look at it. Before we let you go, is there anything else you feel like we should mention?
Well, you know, it is the 1 year anniversary of, you know, the largest land conflict that we've seen in Europe since, you know, the peace of 1945. And, you know, I think it's easier to be an ocean away. But I have spoken with someone who recently got back from a trip to Spain and Portugal, and she was very, very specific about saying that Europe feels this a lot, whether it's the saber rattling of the nuclear threat or just the simple fact that they're, you know, hours away from, you know, what's been essentially a localized conflict, but it's very much a global conflict. So, you know, I think that we should all really pay attention to the news and you know, in our prayers, keep the Ukrainians there. And, you know, certainly, hopefully, all wish for peace and some sort of resolution here in what obviously isn't going to be an easy solution at all with this illegal invasion. So those are my thoughts, Grant.
Yes, and I think that's an excellent point to end on, because we're, lucky is the wrong word, but we're blessed enough to be on the other side where we don't necessarily have to think about it all the time, but it's not something we should or are ignoring, because this is a real world conflict that has real world consequences. As your group has proven, Smiths Falls welcomes Ukraine by bringing these families here and hopefully to stay. And if not, somewhere else where they can set up and enjoy a peaceful life together. So thank you so much for joining us today. And we look forward to what's next.
Thanks, Grant. Again, this is such a great interview with you today. Really appreciate the time, and we look forward to updating you again in the future soon.
Well, that does it for today's edition of In Focus. I'm Grant Demme. Thanks for listening.